WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. It is an absolutely gorgeous day out there. If you love lakefront property, you have it this morning. So enjoy it while you have it. And I have Mr. Chris Barrett, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to have an interesting subject, or a number of subjects. And we want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639, on the internet, athomecaretennessee.com. That's 713-4639. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, sir. How are you this
morning? It's always good to see you. I mean, it's just like old home week when I get you around.
Because, yes, sir.
You know, the acorn doesn't fall too far away from the oak, does it?
I think not, sir. It looks like it's turning out to be that way.
It seemed like I've known your family just about my whole life, and very, very good friends, very nice people, and some of the brightest people I've ever known. I have always been so amazed at your family because they're always so creative. And of course, everybody knows that your dad started Barrett's Firearms, which is one of the most successful, if not the most successful, what would you call it, gun maker in the world, or however you would phrase it.
Yes, he is, and for us it's especially a proud thing because Dad is one of the few sole gun designers from the United States, you know, among a pretty small company, you know, mm-hmm. a pretty small crowd of like the Sam Colts and the John Brownings of the world. Mm-hmm. There's not an awful lot of those anymore, so we're quite proud of him.
I never will forget when he brought his little blueprint on and the first gun he was going to make, and he was showing it to me. He had it all envisioned in his head, and he was explaining all to me how it was worked. Of course, I didn't understand anything he said, but when he brought it back in, I was totally shocked. It was better than any handgun I had ever seen at that time. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing how meticulous and how he can understand the workings of a weapon the way he does. It just blows my mind. And I was watching, I think it was the Military Channel, and I told you this a few weeks ago, and you and your dad and Angela was on also.
Yes, sir.
And you're explaining how you were adapting the particular weapon that you were showing at that time to be more suitable for the military, the guys on the front line, how it would be easier for them to be able to carry it, and then also it would be a whole lot more efficient than what they were using now.
Yeah, that's right. We were looking at two different rifles on that program. That was probably Sniper's Inc. that was airing on National Geographic. Mm-hmm. And there was kind of two little storylines going there because we were further developing Dad's 82 series M107 rifle, which is his original brainchild, and mm-hmm. then we were also working on a gun design that was from me, that was the Model 98B, which has now evolved into a gun called the MRAD. Mm-hmm. So we were following two little stories there while we were trying to adapt and further develop those guns to meet what the new conditions, the new needs of the modern soldier are. Mm-hmm.
And you and your dad have to live in that soldier's eyes and body on how they actually perform on the front lines are where you have to adapt to everything that's new, the way the soldiers have to adapt.
We do.
And it's so interesting to watch you guys as you see the thing, just like something like a sniper. You think that's pretty simple when you look at it from the outside, but it's not. There's a whole lot involved with not only the accuracy of the gun, but the weight of the gun, everything, because snipers lead a different life than almost anybody else.
They very much do. They carry all their equipment on their back, and it's generally a lot heavier. Their firearm, their rifle is a lot heavier, and their skill set's very different. And, you know, I really enjoy the relationship we get to have with our military. Mm-hmm. It's we don't necessarily always set out to design a rifle from the beginning. Mm-hmm. We really don't. We don't design a rifle from the beginning specifically for a certain customer. We've never done that. Mm-hmm. We get the opportunity to dream up what we think is the next novel idea, what's neat, mm-hmm. drawing off of past designs or things we've done in the past or other designs. So we get to come up with things that we think are new, inventive, creative, maybe helpful. Mm-hmm. When we introduce those and they get into the hands of the users, of the soldiers, they get to give us feedback, and that's how both of those guns came along, from the feedback from our original design. So it's kind of like we got to throw up our original creativity. Mm-hmm. Here it is, and they say, this is wonderful. We didn't really think up anything like this, but here it is now. How can we adapt this a little bit more? And we get to take that feedback and further massage the design into even the next level of performance. So it's been a great relationship with us in the U.S. military.
What if the Pentagon were to call you and say, this is what we're looking for in the future, this is where we're going to go, can you grow with us on this? How do you work within that system?
You know, we've looked at a few things. We've looked at a few projects before that the military had actually funded. Mm-hmm. On one that comes to mind was a 25 millimeter grenade launching, technically a cannon. Mm-hmm. But it was still adapted to Dad's original gun design. So mm-hmm. we've never really worked on a complete from scratch design to a specification for the military. But mm-hmm. it's I think that would be something fun to do, because
you guys could do it. There's no doubt in my mind.
We can do things like that.
Yeah.
We solve problems, and when we get together in the same room, and there's something that needs a solution, we'll probably overcomplicate it at first, but then we will boil it down to a elegant solution.
Next time you guys have one of those meetings, I want to be there. I bet the electricity is just all over the place. All the brain waves are flowing there.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and that's those are the really the most fun days we have. It's those days, and then the day that your design actually gets made, mm-hmm. and you can hold a part in your hand. Those are the absolute most fun we have at work, is those days.
Now, you guys have had up against a lot of foreign competition, and have been. I mean, people, when you think of weaponry, you think of Germany and Italy to some sure. degree, and of course we've had our Colts and our Smith and Wessons, but you think about it, there are very few real gun designers, and that's what a lot of people don't know, how special you guys are in that system. I mean, it just we don't realize that here, what we have got. We've got something that very few places in the world have.
Well, I thank you for that. We are very proud of it. And you're right, we are up against some competition, especially for the U.S. military. I mean, mm-hmm. now, you mentioned Smith & Wesson, you mentioned Colt, but now many of the firearms and small arms that are used by the U.S. military are from foreign companies. Mm-hmm. And so we're just proud to be one of the few. It's kind of really just down to us and Remington and maybe a few other smaller ones. But mm-hmm. many of the main battle rifle that we use and our sidearm is an Italian design, you know. And so there is a little competition there.
And you know, no, I hate to tell you this, but this kind of aggravates me a little bit.
Doesn't it?
Yes, because yeah. when people outside the United States get major military contracts that we, the taxpayers, are paying for, and we've got stuff just as good or better than what they have, I'm pro-military, as you know, and love my country. But I think sometimes we may spend a little money more than what we should outside, mm-hmm. when it should be going inside, especially when we got one right here in Rutherford County.
Hey, I have to agree on that point. And I've got all these guys are my friends, too. Yeah. These guys in the industry are my friends, and they're good people, and they make good designs. But it's just to the point that there is competition, and even internationally, there is. And now, on the flip side of that, we are very proud that we've been fielded in some other countries that you would think normally wouldn't look at a gun from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So some of those other countries that you mentioned there that have had very proud proud histories of their own, mm-hmm. and heritage of gun design and fielding, mm-hmm. their own designed rifles are actually buying Barrett rifles. These are allied countries of ours that have long histories of only using weapons made in their own country, have bought Barretts. So
they recognize a good weapon when they see it.
Yes, sir. So we've got a little turnaround there. So
now you're telling me that you may be taking a trip pretty soon.
Yeah, we get to do a lot of travel.
Yeah.
So
you're living a charmed life. You really are. I mean, you're doing things that people only dream of, which is amazing.
Well, thank you, sir. I probably need to be reminded of that.
Now, tell me about your trip coming up.
Well, we've got, among several things, we've got an opportunity. We are going over to Germany. You know, we get to see what they do in their industry. And this is more of a sporting, mm-hmm. Industry show. It's not a gun show or anything like that, like what we know of gun shows here. But
right.
It would be an industry show where we get to see kind of what goes on in the rest of the world with other manufacturers, and mm-hmm. and you know, Europe has a very rich hunting culture, mm-hmm. and their shooting culture is just as old as ours is, and older, mm-hmm. but is very different from the United States. So
yeah.
It's good to get out and see a little bit of what other people are doing and what's going on, and
do you ever look at some of the things that they're doing and adapt it to what you would like to have over here? Because you don't just make military weapons, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. In
yeah.
fact, you know, a large portion of our business is just commercial, is the civilian sport mm-hmm. shooter.
You know, it's interesting. We have a long history of firearms in this country. I mean, just about everybody has had them from the time that pre-1776 on up through now, and it's everybody wants to have the best firearm, whether it's a rifle or pistol or whatever. But you know, we have also seen people on the other side that have been attacking people who have had firearms for some whatever reason. They do not want them to have it, and hunting in this country is always been one of the biggest sports mm-hmm. that they have. And it seems like every time something happens of a terrible situation, say like happened in Connecticut, mm-hmm. it seems like it always opens the door for that kind of discussion. And as we know, the pendulum always swings too far. I mean, it always has. And the thing about it is, it brings panic. In your situation, temporarily, it's like a run on the bank, and you guys are selling guns faster than you can get them in, and ammunition and everything else. How does that affect you when you're having to deal with all those things and a lot of things that are put out in the public are not true?
That's right.
They really aren't. They don't understand weapons, and a lot of the I guess the fear is not knowing what the weapons are and what they're basically used for.
That's right. And I would say that the true fear that people really have is not really about weapons or guns at all. It's the true problems that cause these kind of tragedies are
right.
things that people really just don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit easier to talk about something you can see and hold or hold up in front of a camera and shake mm-hmm. on television, you know. And that's what's happening now. And that's what's causing this this run on guns and ammunition. And that's what's causing some of the panic that is, that's really, it was irresponsible for some of our for some of our people that had TV time to get up and cause some of that.
Yes.
So how does it make me feel? How does it make us feel? We don't like it at all. Yeah. It's a lot of business. It's very, very busy, but it's not business earned. Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of business that we want. We like nice, steady business with our customers that we want to serve. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to serve everybody even during these times, but we just don't care at all for how it comes about, you know.
Yeah, it becomes a political thing more than doing what I consider the right or wrong thing and sitting back and what's the old book, John Kennedy, A Rush to Judgment. That's exactly what happens in these type things. And then there are those who are genuinely emotional about it and affected about it and they're worried. And then there's the others that this is what they want. They've got another opportunity to attack a person's ability to own firearms. Mm-hmm. And they utilize all kinds of tactics in putting out, misdeeds that are going on, which you and I, and the different nomenclature of the weapons and things like that. But it's those things usually die down if you leave them alone. And the sad thing about it, there's always going to be people out there that who are emotionally and mentally challenged, off, and are things will happen to them. And we're living in a world you're talking about different than what you grew up in, and your dad and myself grew up in, is that we don't sit in front of a computer all day that's got all these games and got all the things that are going on that are just absolutely crazy. We're living in a world where there's very little communication and relationship between people.
Exactly. No authentic
communication.
It's all virtual, and it is very different, even from my childhood.
So it's different kinds of responsibility. I can tell you, most of the people that I am around that are hunters, gun collectors, and those people like that are some of the nicest people and some of the more responsible people that you'll ever run into. Now, when we start talking about, they're talking about the some of the weapons, and they're giving them special names,
oh, yes,
as you know. And, of course, the special names, they automatically put up a red flag. Uh-oh, we don't want people owning these type of weapons. And the biggest one they're calling is the assault weapon, of course. What is the difference between, say, an assault weapon that they're talking about and a hunting weapon or things like that?
Yeah, I'll make the point to you that there is no difference. And the only reason I'll talk about guns with you,
right,
I would never talk about guns with some of those other folks, because that, again, that's where they want the conversation to go, when we know that's not the root of the problem. But for the education of all of our listeners and our people, the what they call a quote-unquote assault rifle is nothing more than what the modern rifle looks like today. Mm-hmm. You know, if we rolled the clock back to 1894, the assault rifle might be that brand new Winchester that just came out with that lever thing on the bottom of it that you cranked in.
Was it Winchester 73 or something like that?
1873.
Yeah.
Let's go back to there. So that would have been the assault rifle of the day. You know, it was the most, as they would call it, it was just happened to be the most modern advancement. It was the most state of the art thing of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone came out with a repeating rifle that loaded into a tube fed magazine, it's like that is pretty amazing, and that is what everyone would have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have wanted the thing that was 20 years old, because that was old technology. They wouldn't have been as safe, as effective, as handy, as none of that. You wouldn't want that. It was the old thing. Just like you wouldn't want to drive a 30 or 50 year old car,
right?
Except for maybe nostalgia purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So what they tag now as a assault rifle, or whatever they want to call it, it's just the rifle.
Mm-hmm.
It's what our soldiers, it may look like something what our soldiers have served with in the military recently, and that's what it is. And when they come home, a lot of times they want to hunt with that. Just like my grandfather may have hunted with something or gone to war with something chambered in .30-06, when he comes home from war, that may be what he identifies with as the most modern rifle, and that's what goes into the deer woods, or mm-hmm. that's what goes into your home mm-hmm. and stays in your gun safe. The same thing is applicable to these modern rifles now. It's just what the modern rifle looks like. Things change, mm-hmm. and they need to get over it. You know, there's nothing that much different about them. They just look a little different.
You know, we have every state is different, and they're made up different. The population is different. Some are dense, some are not as bad. We have hunting areas still across the United States that are great places to go. Do you think, because the states are so different, that the character is completely opposite of sometimes even some of the adjoining states, do you think that we would be better served, and this is just us throwing it out, if each state had its own particular gun laws, as far as say New York and Massachusetts, they just really are not pro gun at all, as you know. And we're talking about the eastern part and one of the more populous parts of the United States. Would we better be served having federal gun laws that are laid out, or would we be better served having the states control how their citizens are able to be armed?
That's a very interesting question, and I think it's even one layer even more complicated, because you said the states are very different, and they are.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay. I'd like to pick back up on that.
And then we'll be right back with that. We'll be right back with Chris Berry.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, I'm State Farm Agent Celeste Middleton, and I can help you get to a better state, because I'll talk with you, listen to you, and help you put together a policy that has you written all over it, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Give me a call at 895-2700.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Celeste Middleton. Give me a call at 895-2700.
Morton Building's annual Building Value Day sales event is back, and better than ever. This year, we're celebrating our 110th anniversary and offering big savings to you on a new building. Whether you're looking for a farm building, a stall barn, garage, or hobby shop, we've got you covered. That's because Morton Buildings are custom-built to meet your needs. Building Value Days runs now through the end of February. For more information, contact your local Morton sales office or visit us online at mortonbuildings.com.
Talk Radio, WGNS. I'm Brian Barrett in the WGNS News Center. Riverdale High School closed today because the power is out, only at Riverdale High School now. Electric officials say it will take up to 7 hours to replace the pole that is keeping the electricity from being turned on at the school. All students and staff were notified of the closure when a notification was sent out on the Rutherford County School Messenger system. But again, Rutherford County schools are open today. Riverdale High School, however, is closed because of a power outage. Inmates are clearing debris and trees left from storms early this morning in the Eagleville area, where houses were damaged. Sheriff Robert Arnold says the storm damaged the home of Eagleville Mayor Sam Toon on Alisona Road, another occupied home on North Main Street, and a home on Elm Street. No one suffered injuries. Sheriff's deputies, volunteer firefighters, emergency management all responded. The storm also downed trees in other parts of the county. They were very scattered, but several trees in the Powell's Chapel Road area of Walter Hill, another notable area where there was some storm damage. The sheriff says detention inmates will be clearing trees in Eagleville, then move to other locations in the county to help remove debris from the storms. More information is on our website about the storms that rolled through. One thing that we can tell you is the number of power outages in the Middle Tennessee Electric service area have gone down tremendously. We are seeing in the Smyrna Laverne area, that's maybe about 10, 15 homes in that area. And also south of town, down Southeast Broad and Manchester Highway, only very scattered outages, showing a total of 5, 6 outages. So Middle Tennessee Electric has done a really good job when these numbers were in the thousands just a couple of hours ago. The Riverdale area where that particular tree is, or rather pole is down, is actually in the Murfreesboro Electric service area. So that's some information on the latest from the storms that rolled through overnight. Right now, 67 degrees. Let's get a check of your forecast now.
WeatherEye.
Stronger showers and thunderstorms are in the forecast for today. We'll have highs in the mid-60s with a breezy south wind gusting in the 30s. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Felhuber. Currently 55.
55, down from the 72 that we had at about 3 a.m. this morning. Wild weather. Kim Bollinger is our WGNS Good Neighbor of the Day, receiving flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. And congratulations to our WGNS birthday cake winner, Donna Payne. Donna receives the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Now more than ever, count on WGNS. The Midday Report with Zach Trotman. Weekdays 11 to noon on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back. And we have Mr. Chris Barrett on. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Charlie Pitts Hair Styling on Las Casas Pike. They provide quality haircuts and styling for men, women, and children. You can call 895-3997 for Charlie Pitts Hair Styling. It's not just a haircut. It's an experience at Charlie Pitts Hairstyling, and I guarantee you, you'll have fun when you go there. All right, we were on the subject of states and federal. What is the best way to go as far as handgun rights?
Yeah, well,
and just how total gun rights. I'm sorry.
It's very interesting to note that even a state like New York, that we may typically view as being not gun ownership friendly. Well, I really don't think that's the case. A lot of that sentiment may come from the city, but we have a lot of good friends and even industry people in New York. I mean, there's some gun manufacturers in New York that have a rich history up there that just don't share those feelings that come out of the city. And you see the same thing in Illinois with Chicago. And everyone in Illinois is not from Chicago.
Right.
So you get some situations like that. And those people that live in Illinois, they probably more than anyone, they probably more than anyone need the protection of our Constitution.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't live there in their home. Maybe you live in rural Illinois and you want to carry a handgun for personal protection, or you want to carry a rifle in your truck. And because someone who lives in a terrible part of the city, you know, an hour away from you doesn't think it's a good idea, why does that affect your ability to defend yourself or your family? That's, I can't think of anything more unjust than that. That's the situation that's happened.
I always thought it's interesting. You have the high-profile movie stars, and a lot of them are against people carrying weapons. But yet they hire people to carry weapons for them to protect them.
Oh, yes.
It seems kind of single-mindedness, doesn't it?
It does. And some of those folks live in a sphere that the rest of us don't. So I guess we can take everything that they say with a grain of salt. So their world is a little different from ours.
Well, you know, being in law enforcement, it's always amazed me that you, especially the large cities, the chiefs will come out a lot of times against the carry permits and things like that. But being in law enforcement, as long as I was, I always knew that we could not protect everybody all the time. It was just impossible. You'll never have the manpower to cover all of the territory and the population that you need to. And I think you'll find probably across the nation that most sheriffs, if not all, are for carry permits and people having weapons and things like that. They're pretty much pro-gun right across the board. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons I asked you that. I wonder what would happen, because you said that, and I agree, a lot of people in New York would love to carry mm-hmm. weapons. And I know as a law enforcement officer, going up in New York and Massachusetts, place like that, they have very, very strict gun control in those areas. And others, it's kind of interesting, like in California, if you're a law enforcement officer and you've got a weapon in California, you're really not supposed to, but then they say, we don't enforce it against law enforcement officers, which is interesting. But it seems like that there's a group that they really don't want other people to have weapons, either for sport, for protection, or whatever. And what do you think is... I guess we all have our opinions, but what do you think is the cause of that?
I think it gets down to... I'm not big on some of the overused catchphrases.
Right.
But one that has stuck with me lately is gun control is not about guns, it's about control.
Right.
And that's a pretty simple one. Mm-hmm. And I think that strikes with a lot of people. And when you get down to it, when you peel away with the layers and get logical about what's going on, that's mm-hmm. the only answer, because it's not about safety.
Right.
If people were concerned about safety, we would have an outcry for the children that are killed or injured on trampolines. Mm-hmm. Because I've sat in the children's emergency room, and there's a lot of kids injured on trampolines, and a lot. And it's not about that. We can cross that one out of the way. And it really is just about control. And when we get down to it, that's at the heart of it. And that's probably the scary part of it.
Now, crime goes down when you have armed citizens, doesn't it? I think that I've seen a number of surveys. Mm-hmm. And it seems like if they know that people are protecting themselves in their own homes, it does go down. They're not as likely to break in or whatever.
That seems logical to me. I haven't studied each one of the surveys, but I don't see how that could not be true.
Well, there are so many things that are thrown out when the hysteria starts. Mm-hmm. And if people could just, and it's happening everywhere, if our elected officials could just step back a little bit, all the way from the president on down, and let things kind of subside a little bit as far as all the emotions concerned, mm-hmm. and then look into the real issues of what do we really have here. Mm-hmm. I can't see them enacting any legislation on being able to buy weapons and things like that if they look at it in a way that it's responsible for everybody. Because everybody mm-hmm. has their own opinions, of course. But I always wondered what would happen if you threw something up for a vote after something happens, mm-hmm. and then how people would vote for gun rights, and then let it subside for a few months, everybody get some sanity mm-hmm. Working in their heads, and then how would they vote then?
Right.
I think it would be totally different when you see things, because you're absolutely bombarded by the airwaves for people bringing out all of the emotional impact that's going on, and they blame it on one single issue. And that's really not fair, is it?
No. What we must keep in mind right now, though, is even though time is passing and maybe some of the hysteria is dying off, I hope it does every day, one side of this argument is not being quiet at all to our elected officials. Mm-hmm. So, you say you couldn't see them going and passing any further legislation against our rights and against mm-hmm. our gun ownership. Well, one side is neither of us are being quiet, but boy, the anti-freedom side, the anti-gun ownership side, is being very, very loud.
It's their chance.
Mm-hmm. And what people need to know is that they're not that big. they're not that big, but they have a lot of money from a very few people, that some of the same people that I said don't live in the same sphere we do, mm-hmm. that aren't regular folks like us, are spending a lot of money to get in the ears of some folks. And we need to make sure that we, even as all the panic and the hysteria dies down, we need to make sure that we are continuing to be heard, because their side is awfully loud.
Yeah, and we'll continue to be that way. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Chris Barrett.
Good morning, Mr. Truman, and good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My name is Mike Lawrence. I'm sure Truman knew who I was.
Yes, sir, I did.
I knew Chris's father. I don't know Chris, but I've had a lot of, well, I'd say he's been in my store many, many times.
If you know Ronnie, you know Chris.
Okay. One of our big problems is we got a lot of people out there that's putting out a lot of yak to the media that know nothing about firearms.
Yes.
Education is one way to help some of these people straighten out, because they don't know what type of firearm that really out there. Their knowledge is very limited, and I think education would help, among other things.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And as Truman said earlier, maybe some of the only gun education now is coming from a television or a video game, and not quite the same as how I learned it, as how Mr. Jones learned it, and I'm sure you as well. So I have to agree with you on that.
Well, I've sold a tub full of guns, as Mr. Jones knows.
Yes, sir.
And we've got enough gun legislation out there that it would take a great big thick book to go through all of it. And I was told one time, if a law is not enforceable, it doesn't need to be a law. Well, we've got a whole bunch that doesn't seem to be enforceable.
Well, so. You know, there are, in staying in this area, in Rutherford County, there is gun education going on here in our schools. You know, they even have teams that are going out and shooting, like skeet and things like that, and very competitive, but they... First thing they learned when they're handling guns is responsibility and safety. That is the two issues that they deal with. And then they go into the specifics of the type of weapons that they carry. So in here, I don't think you can find a more responsible place than what we've got right here in our community.
Well, in Rutherford County or in the state of Tennessee, if you were born after 1969 and you want to hunt, mm-hmm. you have to take a hunter safety course.
Right. And we used to all learn that from our dads or granddads.
That's right. Now yeah. they've got instructors that teach it. Yeah. But there's a lot of people should go take that course, and they'd be a whole lot more knowledgeable. And we might not be listening to a lot of people in the media that don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like in law enforcement, the number one thing that they impress upon you is the most powerful weapon that you have in law enforcement is the car. The car is the most dangerous and most powerful weapon that you have, and you spend a lot of time working on that. And I don't think that people actually do spend a whole lot of time, but you look at the fatalities every year that are caused by drivers, either irresponsible, drunk drivers, or whatever, and that's one of the areas that you've seen. There has been some legislation, because MADD, M-A-D-D, was mm-hmm. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, lobbied so strong with that. But anytime you go out on the road, you're taking your life in your hands, because it seems like just the road is a place to build up anger and all that, because you've got people going at different speeds, some not caring if there's anybody around them or not. It's just one of these things that we take for granted. But when you've got a gun in your hand, I have never taken that gun for granted. I don't care if it's a pistol or rifle or whatever.
Well, that's true. I have been in the unenviable position of selling cars that people have killed other people with. And I have sold handguns that people killed others with. I've sold shotguns that had killed people. But it's not the gun. It's the operator.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
I'll get you on my show again, big boy. He's a lot of fun. He's one of these people that I wouldn't call him. He's just a miracle walking. He really is.
Yeah.
He does things that nobody else can do. Now, you guys do a lot of travel.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into Germany and Switzerland and places like that, and you get to meet some of the probably the more unusual people in the world.
Yeah.
And you guys were out hunting. You were telling about hunting in Switzerland.
Sweden.
Sweden. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sweden. Yeah.
We got to go to Sweden this last year and or a couple of months back. And, again, to see some of our friends in the industry, some of the finest people you'll ever meet. And, shooting and hunting is kind of it's a bond that just goes across borders and across the world, and it's
rites of passage for a man.
That's yeah. right. And over there, women and just everybody is such a rich thing in their culture. It's so it was good to get over there and see that evidently everybody loves to hunt. It's not just us Southerners, mm-hmm. but they hunt some big old deer. So they've got a moose over there that we chased until we were froze to death. So. Yeah, we have a good time with the people we meet, and it's amazing. You can strike up a conversation around a campfire with anybody in the world mm-hmm. about your rifle and your instant brothers. So,
now what would they be saying about us now with all the things that are going on here? Because they're like most Americans, they grew up with a weapon in their mm-hmm. hand, and it was something they used for sport, and mm-hmm. and a lot of times, I mean, it was used to be able to put food on your mm-hmm. table. I mean, we're going away from that to something else. I just wonder how they're observing what's going on here.
Well, still for us, a lot of Europeans would envy the amount of freedom we have, mm-hmm. and they do, mm-hmm. So it is not as easy for them to buy another rifle. You know, mm-hmm. like if we want another rifle for hunting season, we can go pick out a new one and trade the old one in, or buy another one, or mm-hmm. or whatever. It's not such an easy process everywhere. So to a large degree, they very much envy what we have, and we should pay attention to that. We should really, really pay attention to that. So as things are sitting here getting a little bit slippery on our rights, we better pay attention that very quickly it could be very different.
Anytime any of our rights are eroded from the original intention, something is going amiss. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I always wonder as our laws and our grow in larger volumes, are we doing the right thing, or are we just putting a handcuff on one hand one day and then a handcuff on another hand the next day? It's always bothered me when we take the ability of each citizen in this country not to be able to do the things that we have taken for granted for all these years, and all of a sudden, wham, it's taken away from us.
Yes, it's not the spirit we were founded on, that's for sure. It's to limit every single citizen to the point where they can only move within a certain confine. That's not what we're about, and it worries me. As your caller stated, there's enough laws on the books to just fill a crate, and it's on everything. And who's auditing that? Mm-hmm. Don't we have enough? What needs to go away? But instead we just pile more on, and it's got to stop. It has to stop.
Well. When you get these situations, it will go away. But what will be the damage in between? Mm-hmm. That's what you always have to look at, and you just kind of have to stay the course. And I know I have seen it over the years as they pass laws in law enforcement. A lot of times they are emotional laws, which is unfortunate. And as you enforce those laws, sometimes you have to use common sense when dealing with them, because the laws were originally set up for the protection of the people. And it's one of those things that sometimes in a courtroom or in a legislative session, they don't take all of that in consideration. They just take one or two people, how they voice things. I always go back to Ms. O'Leary when she brought up the idea of not having prayer in school mm-hmm. and things like that. You can have one person go up there, and maybe a very, very small minority of people and they seem to catch all the attention, mm-hmm. which that's always bothered me. And we've seen it. I never will forget that they had a movie, Inherit the Wind, which was about the Scopes trial. And I never will forget, at the very end, when Spencer Tracy was talking, he mentioned the fact, you know, that he was actually for the gentleman who was teaching against the way that we think around here, mm-hmm. and the way they were thinking there at the time. And he said, wouldn't it be a shame if one of these days you could no longer talk about the Bible or read the Bible or have prayer in your school, was basically what he was saying. And see how far we've come. Mm. It's amazing that just a few voices can change the whole system. And that's what you guys have to fight continuously, isn't it?
It is. And what I want everybody to realize, what I wish could get out there, is that we are really the majority, you know, and mm-hmm. the NRA, for instance, is not a special interest group. It's right. millions of people. It's you. Mm-hmm. It's millions of regular folks. And this other side is really a few people with a ton of money. And you know, the money and the willingness to be in front of the camera and to be loud about it gets you that attention. And that's what they've done. And you know, even that they tried to demonize the NRA as being a special interest group or to being out of touch, but they're not, because they are us.
It would be interesting to see how many actual active members there are in the NRA. I bet it's huge.
It is absolutely enormous. And you know, they do as good of job as anybody with the message, but the important thing is that they're representing all of us, and it is all of us. And they have so many facets of it, that do so many things on local levels that we may get to see here, but they are also on the very front line fighting some of these erosion of our rights. Their Institute for Legislative Action is there every single day seeing some rough things, and that's really where the front line is.
Well, you know, with all these gun owners that there are in this country, and you think of the events that occur from time to time, it's an extremely small percentage of the things that happen that actually reflect back to the gun owners. I mean, it's just so rare. Mm-hmm. But yet, once it happens, it becomes the main topic of what's going on.
Absolutely.
And that almost shows you what's going on.
It's the easiest thing to talk about. I'm glad you brought up, you know, prayer in school, mm-hmm. you know, things like that, and fatherless homes and the destruction of the American family, those things, mental illness, those mm-hmm. things are hard to talk about. Yeah. It's easier to talk about this. You know, Truman, before I forget, I'd like to mention to our listeners also that about being heard and about us getting our mm-hmm. About keeping our voice up, our friends at Ruger Firearms, on their website, they have put an excellent advocacy page up where you can go, and they've written a very good letter. I think everybody would agree with it. You can read through it, but by simply putting in your email address and your home address where you live, it automatically will send that letter to all of your senators and reps on the local and mm-hmm. federal level, and all the way up to the president and vice president. And you can check and uncheck any that you don't want, but it makes it very easy to go ahead and get your voice to all of those people from one point. So mm-hmm. at Ruger's website, which I believe is Ruger.com. I wish Barrett had a thought of that.
Yeah, so, I wish you had too.
Well, I think we can get that over on our site. It's just been one of the many things to do lately, but I did it. All of my friends have done it also, and it's just a good quick little letter that enables us to quickly to make sure that we are continuing to be heard easily. So instead of you having to track down the email address for every one of your representatives on their individual websites, you can find it all there at one spot.
Great. We're going to be right back with Chris Barrett.
With million-dollar lawsuits and drastic increases in court costs, are you adequately insured? We can remove the fear of an unforeseen lawsuit with an umbrella liability policy from Auto Owners Insurance. We'll recommend personal and business protection that meets today's needs. I'm Doran Claiborne with Claiborne & Taylor Insurance. Come by our office at 319 West McKnight Drive or give us a call at 893-5064. Ask us about no problem protection through auto owners.
You can depend on Claiborne and Taylor.
Toots. Here at Toots Restaurants, one of our most popular menu items are our seafood baskets. Fried clam, catfish, and oyster baskets are all our favorites. And also, we have a fried shrimp basket. At Toots, our most popular appetizer is, believe it or not, fried dill pickles. We've been serving those for 27 years. At Toots, we're very proud of our menu and our menu prices and our daily specials. You can bring the whole family in and eat very reasonably at any of our three locations here in Rutherford County.
Good food and fun!
Clean up spills and messes for less when you shop Haynes Chevet Hardware. This is Rich Schmidt with more winter savings from Haynes Chevet Hardware. Right now, a Stanley 6-gallon wet dry vac is just $29.97 while supplies last. It features a powerful motor that cleans up liquid and debris with ease, and it includes special attachments so you can tailor your cleaning needs to the job at hand. Plus, its four swiveling casters make mobility hassle-free. Right now, a Stanley 6-gallon wet dry vac, $29.97 while supplies last at Haynes Chevet Hardware on Memorial behind Reeves Haynes Drugstore.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Chris Barrett. And this part of the show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on DeRidgely Road. Well, have you got any interesting things on looking at in the future on the horizon, Chris?
Well, yeah, well, sir, every day has just been blessed for me. And, yeah. Boy, that's a hard question because we've got so many things going on. I've got I get to work every day with my dad and my sister at Barrett, and, we've got this little retail store going also for the last 4 years.
How's the store going?
Well,
right now, I know it's exploding right now.
Yeah, right now it's not that difficult to get a sale, but you know, it's been a little stressful down there because of all of these things, and we've put in a lot of overtime down there and hired new folks and just trying to keep up with the demand. So that's going very well, and got future plans for that as well. But
how about ammunition?
Boy, you know, we're in a spot when you can't find 22 long rifle.
Oh, that's rough.
That is a rough situation. So ammunition, I think, so everybody can calm down about it, what I think will happen is it's going to be really tight for at least 6 months to 9 months.
Wow.
And I think then we may get back to a situation where the industry has caught up with some of the demand, but you know, you've just got to recognize what has happened, and you know, you probably should just hold your horses, and we're going to get it. You know, we will get that ammunition. The industry will catch back up. But I must say, I've never felt uncomfortable until I saw 22 long rifle run out. Even I got a little nervous about that one. So,
well, how in the world are you going to go squirrel hunting these
days? How in the world would you do that? Yeah,
I have never heard of that.
That's about the only thing you can afford to shoot, you know, in any volume is a 22. So I think maybe 22s will be very popular this year. I think they will.
I can remember when we used to go in and just buy them in large volumes because that is the cheapest way to shoot.
Absolutely. Well, a month ago at the store, we had Buckets of Bullets by Remington. It was like a 22 long rifle, 1,400 rounds in a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And we had pallets of them, and they just absolutely disappeared. But those are the most fun. That's what you teach your kids with. That's what you spend all Saturday shooting with. And I love them. It's funny. I can shoot any gun that I could think of, and it's still a lot of fun to shoot a 22. Who doesn't love that?
So I mean, it's so simple. Do they still make a 22 and a 410 over and under?
Yes,
they do.
Yeah, there are a couple of those out there.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness, I may have to go over and buy one from you because I love that weapon. And I was just a kid when I saw my very first one.
Yeah.
And it's funny how those things stand in your memory because my very first time I went hunting, I had my granddaddy's 16-gauge shotgun, Belmore, old Belmore shotgun. And it's still, It's just special. It's like picking up my very first bat I played with and the glove you played with. There's just something special to a guy about having his own gun. And what was that, the Christmas story where the kid has his Red Ryder BB gun? I had a Red Ryder BB.
That's right.
I mean, it was special.
That's right.
Now, what was your first?
My first was... the first thing, well, of course I had BB guns, but I remember Dad... The first gun I identify as being mine that I could actually use was a Armalite AR-7 22 long rifle.
Yeah.
And it was one of those breakdown survival rifles that for the Air Force, that the whole gun would go, it would break down and go into the buttstock. But the stock was big. It was for an adult. So he and his brother, my dad, my uncle, made a little plywood stock and painted it black to match the gun, but it was really tiny, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I'll just never forget it. It was the coolest gun ever.
See, you have led a special life. You really have already, as young as you are. It's been a lot of fun, Chris. And I'll have to have, one of these days, I'm going to have to get you both back on.
We would love to.
I don't know if I can handle that, but I'll try.
I'll tell you what, we can do it.
All right. We'll see you guys in the morning at 9 o'clock.